Well, good evening, everybody. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much. My name is Steve Jaeger. I'm one of the pastors here at Twin City Bible Church, and I want to add my welcome to Amy's and just say how glad we are that you are here to celebrate Christmas with us tonight. Actually, there are two groups of people that I want to call out in particular to say welcome here tonight. The first of those groups is actually all of our international friends and families who are here, whether they're students or scholars, or here supporting someone who's a student or a scholar. Many of you are very far away from home at this time of year, and maybe you have been for quite a while. And we just want to say welcome. We're really glad that you're here, and we're sure that you're missing family tonight. The other group of people that I want to give a special welcome here to tonight are the kids. Are there any kids who are here tonight for Christmas? There are a few hands. You give them a hand. That's totally fine. In fact, because I want to call you guys out in particular because, kids, you especially have a joy about this season of Christmas that is so helpful to us old people. You really help us to celebrate the season because you get into it so enthusiastically, so energetically. So I'm very, very glad that you are here. Have you been having a good Christmas season so far, kids? You have? Okay, good. Good. I'm glad. Well, I hope that continues tonight. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know if anything special happens tomorrow or not, but we'll see. Well, now that I know for sure there are some kids here, I actually want to ask you guys, the kids here, a question. Now, it's not the question that you think it's going to be. It's not going to be, what do you want for Christmas? I know you have a very ready response to that. I'm sure of that anyway. Instead, the question that I want to ask you guys is, what do you see at Christmas most often? What is one of the most common things for you to see when we're celebrating Christmas? Kids, just go ahead and shout out some answers. I want to hear. Wow. Snow? A Christmas tree? Great spiritual answer, Luke Stevens. What did you say, Rebecca? Presents, yes. Well, I am barraged. I can't. You guys, you've done such a good job. Yes to all of those things. I'm just going to take it that there was probably a yes. Good job. Yeah, so, I mean, things like Christmas lights, Christmas trees, red and green decorations of all kinds. Maybe some of you have Santa and reindeer at your house or something like, you know, decorations of some sort. That's great. Well, there's one other thing that you usually see at Christmas most of the time, and that is this thing. Right up here. We're not going to do that yet. Can anybody tell me what this is called right here? Well, my family knows. I know you already know. Can you tell me what this is called? Do you know what that is? That's okay if you don't. Does somebody else know? Yes. A nativity scene. Very good job. It's a big word for some people. You got that. This is a nativity scene. Who can tell me what a nativity scene is? What does it do? What's it for? Mr. Olson right back there. Exactly. Yeah, it's to show Jesus' birth. It's a set of little figures of some kind that tell the story of the birth of Jesus. They tell the Christmas story. Very good. So this is one nativity scene of like five, maybe 19 we have at my house. We have quite a few of them. Not all of them at my house are toys. Some of them are actually very delicate, very, very nice things. This one is more of a toy, and my kids do like to play with it. In fact, usually what happens with this nativity scene is that things get moved around. Jesus comes out and hangs out in the front yard. The camel goes inside there. You know, the wise men, they go off and have a party down below. You know, actually, honestly, the most common thing is the angel comes down and Jesus goes to the roof. Yeah. Occasionally there's a police car in case somebody needs to make a quick getaway or something. But that's a pretty standard thing to see at... Well, actually, not just an American household, but certainly in the United States, this is a pretty common sort of thing to see. Now, you can see lots of different kinds of nativity scenes. And there are lots of different things to see in those nativity scenes. And I actually brought a few pictures of some different sorts of nativity scenes tonight. Keach, if you could put the first picture up there. The first thing to understand is that sometimes our nativity scenes can be invaded, especially if they're pretty big. For example, in this nativity scene, poor baby Jesus, he not only doesn't have a room in the inn, he's been shoved out of his manger by Grumpy Cat. So
There can be invaders and intruders a lot of the time. I've got another picture up here that's coming. People can get pretty creative with their nativity scenes when they have a low budget. And here, this family is getting a hand from both the Coca-Cola company and Latino culture, thanks to the names that are on the cans there. Third, sometimes people can really confuse their holidays. To be entirely honest, I have no idea what is going on here. I don't know how somebody came up with this. And then last of all, people sometimes find echoes of the Christmas story in popular culture. I don't know, it's a little, maybe it's kind of hard to see. That is Baby Yoda up there. I do need to say, you cannot improve on the Bible story. But this is pretty good. I like this a lot. So apparently, it is possible to see a lot of different things in a nativity set when you have one. You can see a lot of different things, especially in the manger. Case in point, right up there. A manger, in case you don't know that word, it's an animal's feeding trough, and like the Blocker family read to us, it's the place where the infant Jesus was laid when he was newborn because his family did not have a home where they were staying at that time. Now that manger, like this one right up here, it very often becomes the centerpiece of that story and the centerpiece of our nativity sets. You can see a lot of different things in the manger. Those pictures are case in point. And actually, that leads me to the main question that I want all of us to be considering here together tonight. I want you to ask yourself, what do you see in the manger? Now, when I ask that, I don't mean which figurine goes inside the manger, either in this one or maybe in one that you have at home. I'm asking, what do you see in the manger? What do you understand that to be? What does it mean to you? When you look at the manger in the Christmas story, what do you see? Over the years, there are a few things that have probably been the most common answers to that question of what people see when they look at the manger. A lot of us just see a cute baby in very clean straw surrounded by very tame, nice-smelling animals, very realistic, of course. You know, we see something kind of cute. We see something simple. Maybe it sort of gives us warm fuzzies inside. It makes us feel really good. And maybe some of us, if we look at that, we kind of roll our eyes a little bit like, thanks a lot, Pastor Steve. Really appreciate the little people nativity set up here. Very cute. Now, others of us, we see something else. We see a reason to give and get lots of presents, right? Is there anybody here who thinks that presents are a part of what you see at Christmas? Really? Nobody? It's okay to raise your hand, guys. Presents are okay at Christmas. Now, we might see a chance, I already talked to somebody about this tonight, we might see a chance to have a little bit of a vacation from school or from work. Hopefully, most people in the room right now are getting to experience something like that. We might see the hope of getting together with family and friends. In my family, among many things that we see when we look at the manger, we actually see my niece, Allie. Now, Allie is 12 years old now, but when she was 3 months old, she actually played baby Jesus right in the manger, not this manger right here, but she was baby Jesus in the manger at her Christmas pageant. Allie, do you think you could come up and demonstrate for us real quick? No, you can do it later. It's fine. It's okay. Now, it's not always good things that we see in the manger. Believe it or not, it's not always good things that we see there. Some of us, when we look at the manger, we might actually see heartbreak. We might look at the manger and see the loved ones that we have lost or that we can't be with this Christmas season. A lot of us might not be sure what we see at all. The manger just represents confusion to us. We look at this and we don't get it. We can't understand why this would be so meaningful to so many people, why that would seem to change lives. And for some of us, it might even represent something that is so crazy that it's really unbelievable. I know this story. How could anyone believe this story? What possible sense does this make or relevance does it have to my life? How could anyone believe that? So, first thing I want us to see is that we could see a lot of different things when we look at the manger. But here's the question. What are we supposed to see? Is there something that we should see when we look in the manger? What do you see in the manger. Well, I would like to read the Christmas story for you again. Now, I know we just heard it. The Blockers did a really great job with it. But I would like to read a different version of it to you. Now, this is not a joke. This is not like the pictures. This is a real Christmas story. It's from the Bible, but it's a different version of the Christmas story from a different part of the Bible. It's still the story of the coming of Jesus, but it's told from a very different perspective. It's told from God's perspective. And it's found at the very beginning of the Gospel of John. If you have a Bible, you're welcome to open up there, but it'll be up on the screen too. Listen as I read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man who was sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now, this doesn't sound like the Christmas story, does it? There's no shepherds there. There are no angels. There's definitely no manger in that story. But even though this isn't the familiar version of the Christmas story, it can really help us answer that question tonight. What do you see in the manger? We get to look at the birth of Jesus from a very different angle, and it's an angle that is meant to help us see. Now, why do I say that? Well, as you flip back through that passage, if you've got it, you can look to see how often the word light is mentioned, or the things that light does. Light shines in the darkness. It gives light to everyone. It allows us to see. This passage cares very much. It is centrally about helping us to see something about God. And so the big question is, what are we supposed to see in here? I'm going to suggest three things, real briefly, that we're supposed to see in this passage. First, we need to see whom this passage is about. Now, hopefully, this is kind of easy. I've sort of primed the pump here a little bit. You know it's the Christmas story, and the Christmas story is about kids. Jesus, good job. The simple answer is the right one. You're right. It is Jesus. It's about Jesus. But look at how Jesus is described in this passage. Those opening verses, they talk about him being in the beginning and how all things were made through him. And then it calls him this mysterious title, the Word. If you're familiar with the Bible, you're going to hear a very clear echo in here of the first words of the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, the story of how God creates the world just by speaking words. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The creation story is run through with that light and speaking imagery. Jesus is being called the Creator. He's being called God himself. That's who this passage is about. Second, we need to see where this passage takes place. Does it take place in the manger? No, but I don't know. Sort of. Follow me with this. In the middle of the passage, there's a lot about Jesus coming into the world or being in the world. The high point of this whole passage is probably verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Friends, I think the Christmas story is actually clearest in this passage right here. The Creator came to his creation. He became one of us. He drew near to us. He moved into the neighborhood. That's where this takes place, in a real human life, in real human history, in a way that touches our real lives. Where this story takes place is with us. It's with us. So who it's about is Jesus. Where it is with us. And then thirdly, the last thing that we should see is what it's about, what we're supposed to see. That big verse there that I mentioned, verse 14, it goes on to say, "We have seen his glory. Glory as of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This version of the Christmas story right here points our eyes to the glory of a God who is full of grace and truth. We are supposed to see glory and grace in this passage, and that's just shorthand for saying greatness and love. This passage is all about the greatness and the love of a creator, a God who would come to be with us as a baby in a manger. So when we bring all these things together from the passage here, what do we see? We see the greatness of a creator who loves his creation so dearly that he comes to be with us. He lives right in our midst, right next to us. He doesn't stay far away. He brings his light into our darkness. He brings his goodness into our brokenness and our pain, our suffering, even our wrongdoing. As the Bible puts it, God brings his holiness into our sin. Despite our failure to love and to give allegiance to our Creator as he deserves, he still forgives us, and unbelievably, he comes to be with us, all in the person of this little baby in a manger. But here's the thing about the Christmas story, guys. It's pretty short, right? And Jesus, he didn't stay a baby, did he? At some point, Jesus comes out of the manger. He didn't stay in the manger. Now, it's important for us to answer this question, what do you see in the manger? But it doesn't mean what do you see in the manger, because he didn't stay in it. Eventually, the manger got emptied, right? The angels, they eventually left the shepherds. That was actually a pretty quick part of that story. The shepherds, they were only with Mary and Joseph over in the stable or wherever they were for a very short time. In our nativity sets, we usually have the three wise men, the magi. Actually, they didn't show up until several months later, and they were only there for one night. It went pretty fast. And Jesus, he grew up pretty fast. The manger went away. It didn't stay there. And Jesus didn't stay in it. But you know, there's something else that we're meant to see in the manger. It's a pointer. It's a pointer to what the shape of the rest of Jesus' life was going to look like. Just like the humble circumstances of his birth, a poor, impoverished baby being placed in a manger, that was just a foreshadowing of the humility that would be seen in the whole rest of his life, but especially in his death. And the glory and the grace, the greatness and the love of a God who would come to be with us, to be near to us, that was just a taste of the glory and the grace that were going to be seen much later in his life, and in particular, in his death. the Gospel of John, it goes on to say that the glory and the grace of God were seen most clearly, not in his manger. They were seen there, but not most clearly. They weren't even seen most clearly in the things that he did in his life. They were seen there too. Where they were seen most clearly was on a cross, where this little baby came to die as God for us. When Jesus went to the cross at the end of his life, he was bearing the full weight of all the brokenness, all the pain, all the suffering, all the wrongdoing that has ever been done in the world by you, by me, and by every other human being. The glory of God is not that he came to be a baby in a manger, but that that baby came to die on a cross for us. The Gospel of John tells us, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, forgiven, made part of the family, made new. So let me ask you again, what do you see in the manger? Is it just a cute story? Is it a reason for vacation or for presents or for getting to hang out with family? Is it a totally unbelievable fable? Or could it be something more? Could it be that there's a God who is so good that he would be with you in your pain, not solving it, but bearing it with you? Could it be that there's a God who's so glorious that he would die for you, not leaving you in the darkness and the guilt of sin, but forgiving you and bringing you back to himself? From this Christmas forward, what will you see in the manger? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, and it never will. You became flesh. You made your dwelling among us, and we have seen your glory, the greatness and the love of a God who would come to be with us and come to die for us. Lord, give us eyes to see this story in a whole new way this Christmas. Give us the light that we need to receive you, to believe in your name, and so to become children of God. We ask all this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.